This is the story of Justin Martyr. Of course, his surname wasn't Martyr. That was a name given to him by the church after he was beheaded. His birth date was about 100 AD, and his birthplace was the biblical Shechem in Samaria. Though being a Gentile, Justin wouldn't know anything about Jews and Good Samaritans and things like that. From his parents, he inherited two useful things. One was a fortune, a financial fortune, and the other was a very restless desire to know the truth about God. And when he was about 30, living on this fortune I mentioned, he tells us that he was pacing up and down near the seashore of what was probably Ephesus. And he got into conversation with an old man, a total stranger, a man he never met again. And at the end of that conversation, the old man told Justin that he should read the Old Testament prophets and give up his studies in the philosophers. And just for good measure, he pointed Justin towards Jesus Christ. He said these words, "Search the scriptures and pray that the gates of light may be opened to you, for nobody can understand these things unless God and his Christ make you wise." And it was a result of that conversation between the old man and Justin that Justin eventually came to saving faith in Christ. And from that time onwards, he was an itinerant evangelist and an author of Christian books. He was very troubled about the thought lives and thought patterns of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, he knew about, because he knew how easy it was to believe that the idea of worshipping a crucified carpenter just seemed crazy in the second century. And there still exist two apologies, as they're called, which are addressed to non-Jews, which try to explain why it is not crazy to worship a crucified carpenter. And there is no doubt that buried inside those two books, which have survived to us, there are mistakes. But as we're fond of saying, usually about other people, who's infallible? Nobody is infallible. Only the Word of God is infallible. Now remember, that old man told him to read the prophets of the Old Testament, and it was through that reading that Justin became a Christian. So it's not surprising that in his works he makes a lot of use of the argument from biblical prophecy. This really came into its own when he got into a debate with a Jewish man, a very well-informed Jewish man called Trypho, T-R-Y-P-H-O. Later, after the debate, Justin wrote down the dialogue with Trypho, and God has allowed that work to survive the centuries. And in it, Justin refers over and over again to the biblical prophecies. For instance, he quotes Psalm 22 26 times to show how it speaks of the crucifixion of Jesus. I remember one of the first Christian books I ever read was called The Bible at the Bar by W. M. Robertson, who I think used to be a minister at Toxteth Tabernacle. And in that book he says there are 333 prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament. And actually he's not far wrong. And it's that material that Justin concentrates on in his attempts to win over Jewish people and non-Jews too. About the year 165, he was in Rome. He was lodging and preaching above the house of a man called Martin. And unfortunately for Justin, the chief magistrate in Rome at the time, Rusticus, was an extreme anti-Christian, and there were laws in those days which said that Christianity was illegal. And unfortunately, Justin and about half a dozen friends were rounded up and they were put on trial. And it ended with Rusticus ordering them to sacrifice the Roman gods or they would be whipped and executed. Justin told Rusticus that he could do his worst and it would make no difference. And the conversation ends like this. Rusticus says, "If you are beheaded, do you suppose you will rise again and live forever?" Justin answers, "I do not suppose it. I know it." And those were his last words, for then he was beheaded. Now, what has all that got to say to us in 1992? Well, first, never underrate the power of the words when you witness personally for Christ. The story of Justin is a rebuke to every Christian who doesn't have a personal witness, say in the place where they work or in some other part of their lives. And he was won to Christ by an old man who never lived to see the consequence of his words. But remember, the words are dead unless they are coupled up with the Holy Spirit. So certainly use words. Witness with urgency, but with equal urgency, pray that the Holy Spirit will accompany the words. And secondly, a question to everybody in the room. Do you have that sort of assurance which Justin displayed in front of Rusticus? Do you know you are going to heaven? Or do you merely hope you're going? We should remember Justin Martyr.